welcome in on this Saturday night at 9. My name is Bill Jenkins, and this is Open Mind, and I'm delighted to have you along. It's one of those nights that we want to, well, challenge your open mind. Do you have one? We'll go into some new vistas of thought, some new things that are going on that you may not have dreamed could possibly be happening, but they are. And to help us explore those, we have on our conference line from Sedona, Arizona, one of our favorites here on Open Mind, a man who has contributed so much to it and so much to the world in which we live, in fact. I want you to say hello to Dr. Patrick Flanagan. Pat, welcome aboard.
Hello, Bill. Welcome to be aboard, and also, you know, my lovely wife, Gail Crystal Flanagan, is also on.
Gail Crystal.
Hi, Gail.
How are you, Gail? You're in the other room now? Both of you have been working so hard and have done so much. Patrick is the author of Pyramid Power. The age of 14, he invented an incredible little device called the Neurophone, which... Well, tell us about the Neurophone, Patrick. It sort of defies most comprehension, I think.
Well, when I was... I've been an inventor since I was 8 years old. And when I was 12 years old, 13, I guess, I read a book by Hugo Gernsback, who is the founder of Gernsback Publications. It was a science fiction book written in 1912. And in that book, the hero had a device that could transmit information directly to the brain, that is, directly through... a channel other than the ears, directly to the brain. And when he went to bed at night, he could program dreams into his brain, or he could program information like languages, things like that. And I wanted one of those. And the book stimulated a series of events that eventually, about 6 months later, led to the development of the Neurophone, which is an electronic device that transmits sound through the skin directly to the brain. And what most people don't realize is that the skin is a latent hearing organ. That is, all of our organs of sense evolve out of the skin, the eyes, the ears, all of these things. And, for example, the skin is light sensitive or photosensitive, and the skin is also vibration sensitive. And to our surprise, in the development over these years, we've discovered that the actual mode of operation of the Neurophone is that we take ordinary sound, convert it into an electronic configuration that vibrates the skin internally. And then the skin transmits the sound to the brain through another channel. And you might say, well, if we have ears, why should we want to transmit sound through another channel to the brain? And the fact is that the skin channel, being more primitive, goes to deeper areas of the brain, that is, deeper areas of thought, so that it's possible through the Neurophone to learn languages, to program affirmation, to use it as a learning machine, because it transmits information to a much deeper level of the brain than the ordinary acoustic channels used by the ears.
Well, not only that, I have learned in using the Neurophone that I have that music becomes quite an experience whenever you have the little electrodes attached to the skin.
Absolutely. And by the way, we have a stereo Neurophone now.
Oh, you do?
Oh, yeah.
Now you're teasing me.
Yes, I am.
No, it's wonderful. Not. It's true.
No, it's true. I am teasing you, but no, we do have a stereo Neurophone.
Well, by teasing, I mean...
I'm teasing you because you don't have one.
I don't have one.
Right.
That's right. And in fact, I don't have the Neurophone now. But, well, I have it, but one of the little electrodes is busted. I've got to send that to you, right?
Well, you know, if we remember right now, I'm going to write that down so I can send you a new set of electrodes for it.
It is a great learning device. It also has another fascinating side effect, the Neurophone. In that, for some reason or another, and Patrick, I don't know whether you figured it out or not, why, that when you use it, that stimulates the endorphins, and it is probably one of the finest painkillers in the world, is just to attach the Neurophone.
Yeah. I recall you had the first time you used it, you had a broken ankle.
Yes, I broke my foot skiing down the slopes of San Moritz heading for the lodge because there was a lovely young lady. But now, actually, I was getting out of the car at Bob's Big Boy. But the other story is far more romantic. And I had some time to sit and work with the Neurophone. And I noticed that when I put it on, this intense pain in my broken foot, I broke two metatarsals in the foot.
Wow.
Went away.
Well, you know, a number of physiologists consider that the skin itself is a second brain, because the skin has a myriad of complex functions that enable it to perform miracles, literally. And one of the things about the skin is that, of course, acupuncture works through the skin, and it's been established that when the skin is stimulated by means of needles, that endorphins are created. And with the Neurofoam, we stimulate the skin with a internal vibration. You know, the Neurofoam electrodes vibrate in a digital manner, that is, in a square wave manner,
mm-hmm.
and they vibrate the skin internally, and this intense vibration internally in the skin causes apparently a secondary information transfer to the brain. And it's my theory that the Neurofoam stimulates the skin in much the same way as acupuncture stimulation without the need of electric shock or needles, because when you use the Neurofoam, there is no discomfort whatsoever, only pleasure.
Well, I know that it is the best painkiller that I've ever experienced.
And we use it, Bill, in conjunction with some healing sounds. Om, for example. You know that Om tape we did in the pyramid? Well, I played that through a cassette tape in conjunction with the Neurofoam.
The Om tape that all of you made in the pyramids one time?
Right.
How many of you were in the pyramid?
Let's see, I think
18.
18 of you were making this kind of sound?
Right. That's the one.
Tell us about that sound that we're hearing.
Okay, well, in ancient, of course, you know, in the Bible, in the beginning was the Word, and of course, in various sounds have powerful effects on our bodies. And as a matter of fact, in India, when they used the Sanskrit language, many of the sounds were used in a healing manner, and they were used to stimulate changes in consciousness. And the Om is considered to be one of the most powerful sacred sounds. It's said to be the sound of the creation of the universe. And so when we were in the pyramid, the king's chamber of the pyramid is actually resonant. It's got a powerful resonance at what is called scientific C, which is 256 cycles per second. And the dimensions of the room are, the height, width, and depth of the room are such that all the resonances are in perfect harmony with one another. That is, they create a perfect musical chord. So when the people, when we were all in the pyramid, one of the things we did in order to relax and get in a more receptive mood for whatever might happen that evening was to chant the word Om over and over again in unison. So at that time, I set up a professional Sony Walkman tape recorder with a special microphone system right in the center of the king's chamber. And then we all, 18 of us, chanted. But because the room has very hard walls, that is, that means that the echoes last for a long time. Because it has such hard walls, the sounds of our voices were multiplied over and over again by these reflections. And the end result is that it sounds like an entire chorus of people. And it also has that tremendous depth of resonance, that musical harmony that I mentioned earlier of the king's chamber.
Well, let's listen for just a moment.
Sure.
18 people in the king's chamber of the Great Pyramid in Egypt doing Om. In the background.
That's why we call it outer space interface.
But it was just simply 18 people chanting Om in the
right.
King's chamber. So what else have you been up to, you two?
Well, Gail and I, Gail has something very exciting to talk about in a moment about something that's going on in Yugoslavia. But in our home, of course, we've been extremely creative because we've spent a lot of time in our laboratory. We've been working especially on water. As you know, I've spent a good portion of my life trying to unravel the secrets of water, because water is really the secret of life and the effects of water on the living system. And in doing so, have developed a new form of water that, through a series of events that we call energy crystal water. And it's Gail and I have been working on perfecting that water now for the last year. And the water a year ago was fantastic, but the water now is several orders of magnitude improved.
We took it every day, by the way. Remember that six-month fast we went on?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the water sustained us through that whole time. We were taking large amounts of it during that 6 months when we were just on liquids.
Well, I'm taking large amounts of it. You really get hooked on the water.
I know. It's wonderful.
I even put some in the spa. It makes it just as silky smooth as it can be.
Oh, yeah, yeah. What it does is it creates a restructuring of the water. You know, water is a liquid crystal. And in our bodies especially, water is highly structured and even more crystalline. That is, as a liquid crystal. And the body has to work very hard. In fact, it's estimated that up to a third of our energy is utilized in restructuring the fluids that we take into our bodies. So that they can be utilized by the body. And so what we do is we've created a method of increasing the electrical charge in the water so that the water is structured before we drink it. And the end result is that the water goes right into the system and begins to do its work with very little effort. And also, it may act as a carrier for nutrients into the system so that it improves the absorption of nutrition.
Mm. Well, it tastes good. Makes you want to, you never want to drink any other kind of water. You certainly feel better about it.
Right.
The surface tension of the water that's been treated with it seems to be much lower.
Right.
Is that true?
Yes, that's true, because as the water becomes structured, as it gains energy, because this water does have several hundred times as much energy than ordinary water, as the water gains energy, it reduces in surface tension. And that's part of the product. For example, the water in the body in vivo has a very low surface tension compared to ordinary water outside the body. And our water is simply matching the surface tension that's already in the body so that it can more easily penetrate into the cells.
Well, you're into all kinds of things.
Yes.
Dr. Patrick Flanagan, author of Pyramid Power. I know that one of the reasons I love to have you on the show, the both of you, is that we can freewheel it tonight. Because Patrick knows a great deal about most anything. And we would like to open up the lines, if you don't mind, to those that want to talk to Patrick and to Gail. The Los Angeles number is 520. They all end in talk. The San Fernando Valley, 990. And it's your chance to get straight scoop on most anything. Patrick is into energy. He is into ELFs. He is into scalar interferometry. All of those things that we love to talk about. In Orange County, the number is 750, and Glendale, Dr. Patrick Flanagan, Gail Flanagan, are both with us here tonight, speaking to us in the conference line from Sedona, Arizona, which is quite a little power spot in itself out there, isn't it, gang?
Oh, it certainly is. It's the flip side of Tibet.
The flip side of Tibet. Now, what does that mean?
Well, in other words, it's at the same level as Tibet and on the other side of the earth. And it's interesting, Sedona is a very sacred spot to the Hopi Indians, and it's kind of like a miniature Grand Canyon. It's very mystical and extremely powerful. There are seven energy vortices here. They're actual energy, magnetic, gravitational anomalies.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very interesting that during the International Geophysical Year, when they did a satellite survey of the earth for pollution, that is radioactive pollution all over the earth, because the prevailing winds carry fallout all over the earth from the radioactive test, that when they examined the entire surface of the earth and published a map, the map was in shades of gray. The darker the gray, the more radioactive pollution, and the lighter the gray, there was less pollution. And there were only two spots on the entire planet Earth that were absolutely white, that is, had no radioactive pollution. One of these spots was Sedona, Arizona, and the other spot was the top of Mount Shasta there in California.
How about that? And did you know that Congress has a bill before it right now to irradiate all of our food with radioactivity?
Well, you know, the only difference between genius and stupidity, you know, there's no limit.
Some of the food, they want to irradiate it with 4,000 rads.
Really? Wow.
And, of course, we get about what? Less than one rad whenever you get a chest X-ray?
Of course.
And that's before the House of Representatives right now. It's just a marvelous bit of political nonsense that's going on.
And considering, you know, that the soil is denatured already, you know, and there's hardly any vitamins in it by the time you get it, and then you cook out the rest of it, people are eating food that's almost useless.
Well, the idea is to have all the food going down a conveyor line, and the little slot opens up and radiates some at some degree and some at the other, ostensibly, I suppose, to kill bacteria and to stunt the growth of your onions so they won't grow in your cupboard. But I really don't want to eat radioactive food myself.
Well, I...
But Congress has a better idea, and of course
agree,
we know the great minds of our time all reside in the Congress of the United States.
Surely you jest.
I do jest.
Speaking of power spots, Bill, something very exciting has happened, and I'm sure that most of your listeners haven't heard of it as yet, because we just have. Our friend just came back from Yugoslavia,
mm-hmm.
and there's been, for 3 years... Six visionaries have had an apparition of a being, a luminous being, who calls herself the Queen of Peace, otherwise known as the Blessed Mother.
Mm-hmm.
And she's been appearing daily to these six children for 3 years. This is when the film was made, so now it's over 3 years. And I have a video of it, which is available to people if they do want to order it. I can give the information if they write to our company.
Okay.
But anyway... they photograph the children as they're in this trance state, speaking to this luminous being who calls herself the Queen of Peace. Anyway, and they're outside of time and they're outside of space. They don't react to light or being touched. They're oblivious to all that goes on around them. And this fact has been established by doctors and personal examinations. And people for 3 years have been coming by the tens of thousands. Have you heard of this, Bill?
Now, where is it happening?
It's in Yugoslavia, a little town called Medjugorje.
Medjugorje. No, I haven't heard of it. I'd heard of a similar situation that happened right outside of Cairo.
Right.
7 or 8 years ago, and Raymond Bayless and some of the people from the Southern California Society for Psychic Research have gone into extensive research on that, and tens of thousands, of hundreds of thousands of people watched that happening outside of one of the churches over there for a long period of time.
Yeah, it's amazing because it's happening now every single day for 3 years, and people have reported all kinds of instantaneous healings and transformation of their lives and so forth. And the message is that the lady's message is one of peace. She desires to be called the Queen of Peace.
Mm-hmm.
And asks that June 25th every year be celebrated in honor of peace. And it's interesting, too, because tomorrow, you know, on your lovely wife's birthday is our anniversary when Patrick and I were married inside the Great Pyramid.
That's one of your anniversaries, and the other one was on my birthday, I remember.
And
she said to say happy birthday to you. I mean, happy anniversary to you, because tomorrow is her birthday.
It's interesting. I don't know. I guess your listeners might know from you mentioning it, but Patrick and I were married twice, once in Egypt and once in the United States. And one time we were married on your birthday, and the other time on Evelyn's.
We were very honored.
We were very honored. But we didn't even know it was your birthday.
I was very honored anyway.
Right. It makes it doubly significant.
Yeah,
and
you
the
were.
Night of, the night of the second wedding, which was October 11th, which was
October
last
7th.
Seventh. I'll never forget that day.
I woke up at 2 o'clock in the morning with the idea for the Planetary Peace Corps. I sent you a globe, I'm sure.
I have got three of those globes. We have one.
I told you I was sure. Anyway, the name of the project is Hug Your Other Mother, and it goes very well with some of the visionary descriptions of what the Queen of Peace has said helps the world. In other words, you can suspend natural law through prayer and fasting. And if all of us will unite in this vision of peace and do this daily, we can stave off a lot of the catastrophes that are imminent. Right.
Well, you know, you create a lot of conversation over at iHouse because you sent us a simple little blow-up globe, right? There
uh-huh.
it is.
Well, that's part of it. You take the globe and you hold it.
Hold it and hug it. And we just leave it laying on the floor, and it kind of bounces from one room to the other, and it's there like one of the cats or dogs are there. And they said, what is that on the floor over there? I said, oh, have you hugged Mother Earth today? So everybody hugs Mother Earth, so... It just is there. It's a part of the decor of the house.
Well, you know, we could make it a global reality. Could you imagine thousands and thousands of people every day at a certain time, and we give the times when you sign up. There's a one-time lifetime membership, and then you get your globe, and you also become an official Mother Hugger, and you get a card.
Evelyn wanted to know where her card was. I got mine, but she didn't.
Oh, I thought I sent her one. I'll send her another.
Okay.
You know, and the idea is from the old Sanskrit saying that energy follows thought. So if you can imagine all the members of the Planetary Peace Corps, and it's just really taking off. It's been in effect for about a year now. And people are real excited about it, and hopefully there will be thousands and thousands more hugging their globe simultaneously. And, you know, visioning light, encompassing the globe.
Okay.
It's just wonderful. Anyway, if anybody wants to know more about Medjugorje, they can, the information comes automatically when you sign up to be a mother hugger.
All right.
And we'll give our address and our number because it's changed from the last time.
Okay.
Can we give it now?
Go ahead and give it now.
Okay. Get your pencils. It's Flanagan Research, P.O. Box 686, Novato, N-O-V-A-T-O, California. And the zip code is 94948. And our telephone number is 415-892-7594. And the information, as I said, when you sign up to become a mother hugger, you get the information on Medjugorje and, you know, and also the globe and your mother hugger card
and all
kinds
that
other
of
goodies.
All
and
kinds
also
of
any information you want on our product to be gotten the same way.
The calls are beginning to light up.
Okay.
Are you guys ready to take a few?
We're always ready.
Well, we'll take a few moments of Om and then be back in just a moment with Dr. Patrick Flanagan and Gail Flanagan. Vince, hello, Vince. Welcome aboard.
Oh, thank you, Bill. I listened to your show. It's really very enchanting. I wanted to first say that Sedona is really a wonderful place, and it was very peaceful and tranquil, and I never knew why, but I think I understand it better now.
You got the skinny from Patrick, did you?
Yeah, right.
Okay.
I wanted to ask Patrick and Gail about, I'm a psychologist myself, and I wanted to ask them about the neurophone, because I'm quite interested. It sounds very interesting, and the skin is, incidentally, very closely related to the brain. It struck a familiar chord when he was talking about that. So I wanted to learn a little more about it. If he could just tell me a little about it now, I could perhaps use one.
Sure. The neurophone, again, is an alternate channel into the brain. It's being used by a number of psychologists and psychiatrists. And, in fact, people from many different disciplines are using the neurophone because of this. But basically, over a period of time, we have built up what is known as the function of selective hearing through our normal ears. And this is both a boon and it's also a detriment, if you know what I mean. Because, for example, if something's going on in the environment that you want to tune out, most of us, if not all of us, have the ability to simply turn off our hearing internally so that whatever is coming in is not being absorbed. And this is why sleep learning, for example, doesn't work very well. Because when you're trying to program the brain, when you're going into a state of sleep, the only time that your brain is listening is when you're in the what's called the alpha state, and after that, your hearing simply turns off and none of the information goes in. However, with the neurophone, since it is another channel, an alternate channel into the brain, it transmits into a deeper level, and the end result is that we've determined, or at least we believe from the research and experiments that we've run, that it bypasses the selective hearing function. And the end result is that it tends to program the long-term memory banks in a more direct fashion. People who use the neurophone, for example, for learning language, find that they can learn language in about one-third the normal time required by listening to the language through the ears. Also, the neurophone can be used as a subliminal device. That is, you can use it to transmit subliminal affirmations regarding anything you want, any problems you have, things like that. And we tend to encourage people to make up their own affirmation tapes along certain guidelines. And so the neurophone has many, many uses like that.
Oh, I see. I wanted to also, I wanted to ask about subliminal learning, and this is similar to that, and I guess you've answered that question. It is a form of subliminal learning?
Yes. Well, the neurophone can be used consciously or subliminally.
Mm-hmm.
And for those who don't know, just the definition of subliminal simply means that you can transmit information into the brain that bypasses consciousness entirely. And the way we do that with the neurophone is that you simply do that by adjusting the level of the signal that goes into the brain.
Now,
in other words, if you turn it up louder, you can hear and differentiate every word. If you turn the level on the neurophone down, you hear noise or you hear a signal, but you don't quite consciously get what's being said. And at that point, the information is being programmed directly into the brain.
So it's an auditory input.
Yes, it is an auditory input, yes.
Oh,
normally, the neurophone comes, it's a signal processing device, which, by the way, is quite small now. They used to be very large, and now that we've got it down to a very small size, we call it a Thinkman. It's about 3 inches by 6 inches by 1 inch in size. And we also have a stereo neurophone. And the advantage of the stereo neurophone is that you can stimulate alternately or simultaneously the left and right hemispheres of the brain, because this division of function in the body carries over to the skin also. In other words, there is a midline right down the center of the body where one side of your body has a positive charge and the other side has a negative charge. And we can measure this with an electrometer. And apparently this channel input from the skin follows the same line. For example, we've made small neurophone electrodes where you place the electrode on the skin. And if you move it, say, a quarter of an inch across that center line of skin, you can hear the signal transfer from one side of the brain to the other. And so using this function, you can transmit information into the brain to create what is known as entrainment. So that if you play, say, an alpha signal into the left and right hemispheres, it creates a phase coherence in the brain.
Do you use an ordinary audio tape?
Potential as a neurophone is actually limitless.
Do you use an auditory tape?
Auditory.
Just any, you can select anything you want?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
Can you select a tape and then put it in the neurophone and use it to...
Yes. You can. We have a few tapes that we sell with the neurophone.
I see.
And you can... it's a wide open field. The neurophone, even though it was invented, say, 24... Actually, longer than that, about 27 years ago. It's taken this long to develop it, get it on the market. I haven't even told you the problems we had with the patent office. It took 12 years just to get a patent because they wouldn't believe it worked.
Mm-hmm.
We had to actually fly to Washington and demonstrate it to them before they'd give a patent. But the end result of that is that the field of neurophonics is wide open, and we would like to encourage people like yourself to develop the software for the neurophone. The neurophone is kind of like the first computer. It's a marvelous device, and the problem is figuring out how to best utilize it, and that's the development of tape, software, things like that for utilization with the neurophone.
It's available.
Really multifaceted. It's a very futuristic device. I mean, there isn't another device like the neurophone.
Mm-hmm.
It's phenomenal. You can actually experience hearing through your eyes. You can take the electrodes of the neurophone and place them on your eyelids, and you can actually hear through your eyes, which is quite an experience in itself. I've used it for various bruises and so forth. I would take the electrode and play it in conjunction with the ohm tape, because I feel that you can affect healing on a cellular level with sound more readily than with words. In other words, my skin cells would probably heal faster to ohm than they would me saying, you're feeling much better now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that on a very primitive level, as Patrick was talking about before, our skin can pick up these sounds that can accelerate healing.
Could I have your number again? I missed the 892. What's the telephone number?
892-7594.
Area code 415.
Yeah, right. That's in Nevada.
415-892-7594.
Okay, good. Great. I'll be contacting you.
Great help you, Vince.
We have a
very much.
Neurophone, by the way.
Thank you, Bill. You have a wonderful show.
Well, thank you. And I hope that was helpful to you.
Very helpful.
You certainly got a lot of information out of them.
Right.
I'm glad you did.
By the way, Bill, we have a one-hour take that describes the development of the neurophone, you know, everything that happened in the process of developing it over a 27-year period, and an audio tape that's a one-hour tape. So, and that's also available through our office.
Yeah, it's quite a story. In fact, you had to go up to the patent office yourself and let a person who was deaf hear Beethoven for the first time through the neurophone to get that patent.
Yeah, well, it was quite an experience. In fact, the patent office rejected the application a number of times, and as people who are familiar with the patent office, if they reject an application a certain number of times, they close the file and say you can't have a patent. And what happened is they kept rejecting my patent application because they said this device could not technically exist.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, they said that there was no prior technology. And usually, see, most inventions are improvements on old inventions.
Right.
And very few inventions are what you would call a basic invention. And so the result of that is that the patent office kept saying there's no prior patent, no prior technology, it can't possibly work. So finally, in frustration, after they closed the patent file, I flew to Washington and demonstrated the neurophone on a deaf employee of the patent office who happened to hear with the neurophone, and this was the first thing he had heard in a period of 13 years. And they reopened my file and gave me my patent, gave us the original filing date, everything, and... by then, I was so frustrated. That was just the beginning.
Well, the patent office, of course, is the source of great frustration. Its purpose is to encourage and protect the innovative inventor.
Right.
And it does not do that. In fact, Commissioner Dungan, involved in the Joe Newman case, has already been declared by a federal judge in Texas as incompetent, but yet they sit. And now in the House of Representatives is the bill before the House of Representatives to give Joe Newman his patent on his free energy device and to investigate the patent office as to why they haven't done it.
Right.
They sit there and see this thing work, but they say it violates the second law of thermodynamics, so therefore what we're seeing is obviously a hallucination or something. So the patent office.
That's what we get for being ahead of the time.
So the patent office is a dinosaur, and there probably are going to be some great changes there in the not too distant future. We're 16 minutes away from 10 on this Saturday's Chamber. For a second. Let's boom for just a second. 18 voices in the King's Chamber of the Giant Pyramid is doing a simple poem. To you, doesn't it? All right. Al, you're on.
Okay.
How are you feeling?
Fine.
Do you like the Om?
I'd like to hear the Mormon Tabernacle Choir sing in there. Sometime.
Sounds like the Mormon Tabernacle Choir is in there. That's just 18 voices, isn't it?
Fantastic. I'd like to know where one could get...